From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. Tonight's top worry. If something happens to your apartment and you need to, like, stay in a hotel and pay for it, that would be crazy, right? Art Palpitations has more.
That would be crazy, Tammy, but you got surprisingly affordable renter's insurance through GEICO, so it could be covered, giving you peace of mind.
Aww, I love a story that ends well.
Next up, love stories. Are they all they're cracked up to be?
It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Three men have been found not guilty of murdering journalist Lyra McKee in Derry in 2019. And I'm joined now by Susan McKay, journalist, author and friend of Lyra. Susan, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. Thank you very much for talking to us. Your reaction to today's verdict?
Obviously, the verdict stands. Ms. Justice Smith has taken her time to deliver this, and she's delivered it based on the evidence before her. And the family and friends of Lyra are just going to have to come to terms with that. But it's tough on those who are close to her, because this is 7 years on, and the trial itself has lasted over 2 years. So, you know, the family have been kept on tenterhooks for a very long time, waiting for some prospect of some sort of justice, and they must now feel that still nobody has been held accountable for the murder of Lyra all those years ago.
Yeah, I've no doubt, and I do believe some of Lyra's family have come out and spoken after the verdict was announced, and all our sympathies are with them. It must be very difficult to not have some kind of closure. For people who perhaps don't remember what happened back those number of years ago, Susan, will you remind us of the story of Lyra's murder, and it just to start off with?
Just as background to Lyra, she was a really brilliant young journalist. She was only 29 years old. She was very contemporary, very excited, very full of ideas and energy. And she had just signed a 2-book deal with Faber, you know, a really prestigious British publisher for books. And she was working for major American publications like Atlantic Magazine and so on. So she was quite a pioneer of a type of journalism, freelance journalism that was kind of global. And she was born and brought up in Belfast in the Cliftonville Road, which during the Troubles was known as the Murder Mile. She came from a very working class background. She was gay. She was probably a bit excitable in every sense of her life, you know, but she was full of absolutely joyful energy, and she loved journalism. And she had moved up to Derry recently to join her then her partner. They were engaged and they were going to get married, and she was full of delight with Derry, thought it was great, and sort of had written to her partner saying, you know, goodbye to bombs and bullets, you know, it's all onto a new life now. And she had when that Easter, she was in Derry, and she heard that there was something going on up in Creggan. And what turned out to have happened was that there had been the PSNI had been called over to a house in the Creggan estate, a very impoverished part of Derry. And they had been told that there was weapons in a house. And anyway, when they went to search the house, the new IRA had sort of summoned up a whole lot of local young fellas and children and boys mainly. And they started a riot around this arrival into the estate of some police Land Rovers. So the riot started. There were vehicles being burned. There were stones being thrown. And Lyra and her friends decided that they were going to go up and watch what was happening, which isn't a bizarre thing for a journalist to want to do. It's a journalist's instinct, as you know, is to always go where everybody else would run from, you know. And Lyra had not ever seen a riot before. She didn't grow up in an era when she would have been involved in them. So
she described herself as a ceasefire baby, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. She described herself as a ceasefire baby, the Good Friday Agreement generation. And she was standing beside some of the police vehicles, and the gunfire started, and she seems to have been hit almost immediately. because it was only just sort of dawning on people, hang on, that's actually shooting. And Lyra was on the ground and she was very, very seriously injured and died very shortly afterwards. The police actually brought her over to Altnagalvin Hospital on the other side of the city, but it was too late and Lyra was dead at the age of 29 with her promising life of journalism and happiness in front of her. And it was just an absolutely tragic thing to have happened. Yeah, she'd written a lot about being a ceasefire.
She had,
baby,
and I read much of what she's written or she had written, and I absolutely take on board what you're saying about that she had huge potential and I'm sure a very full life ahead of her. Am I right in thinking, Susan, you had been supposed to meet her that weekend but didn't because she had been murdered?
Yeah, we had talked about meeting. She had said to me, are you going to be up in Derry for Easter? And I said, yes, I was, because I was writing something and I was planning to actually go and observe the Easter commemoration by some of the dissident Republicans, just because it was kind of really interesting and dismaying to see that the likes of the new IRA and various other factions of dissident republicanism seemed to have a foothold in parts of Derry. It was an interesting and disturbing phenomenon, and Lyra and I were both interested in that. So we had spoken about potentially meeting up at that, and instead I woke up on the morning of the 19th of April to a text saying, so sorry about Lyra, and that was how I discovered that that she had been killed. Now, I wasn't a close friend of Lyra's. I was more like a kind of, I suppose some people would say I was one of her mentors, but in many ways she was as much of a mentor to me because she knew a very contemporary sort of journalism and she was always urging me to try new platforms and so on. You know, she was very fluent in working social media and in doing online remote work and all of that kind of thing that other older journalists like me were slower to pick up on. But I think what was very important about Lyra, apart from the fact that she was a gorgeous human being, is that she was a voice for that post-ceasefire millennial generation. And she wrote about how, you know, she didn't care about, she said, I don't care about a united Ireland. I don't want a closer union. I just want a better life. And she was talking about how the so-called benefits of the ceasefires just didn't seem to have filtered down to working class people of her generation. You know, it was still really tough to make a living. And life had in many ways not improved in some of the areas that had been worst hit.
And Susan, what impact or legacy do you think has come from the murder of Lyra? I mean, it was utter shock at the time, I think, and for most people, revulsion at this tragic loss of life. But do you think she has left a legacy?
She certainly has left a legacy. I mean, there was a collection of her work published by Faber, which was very poignant, given that they were going to be publishing her new work. But also, I think it just the shock of someone being killed at that point and someone who had written about how great it was, the prospect that there wasn't going to be any more violence. You know, she'd written quite a lot about that. And I think that, you know, it did really make people realise how much they valued peace. And it also made them realise how journalists are so vulnerable. And I think that and hope that it led to more training for freelance journalists in, you know, in safety techniques and so on. So, but
because is it fair to say, and I mean it in no pejorative way, that she was, despite being an excellent journalist, slightly naive going into the heart of a riot and never having been in one before and perhaps never thought of her own safety at all?
I don't think that is actually a fair comment because, you know, other people who described the scene that night were sort of saying like there was something very stagey about that riot. It didn't look like a serious riot with sort of the energy of a community behind it. Mm-hmm. There was a documentary being filmed by a TV company and some people feel that there was a bit of performative rioting going on there, and apparently there were like sort of people standing out in their doorways watching what was happening, and you know, mothers holding their kids by their hands in their front gardens peering down the road to see what was going on. So there wasn't a sense that it was a really dangerous situation, and then the gunfire started. And, you know, so I don't think it is fair somehow to say that it was naive. And also, she was a journalist through and through. She wanted to see what it was like, and she was tweeting about it. I mean, the last tweet that she sent said, "Derry tonight, absolute madness."
Yeah.
And shortly after that, seconds after that, I think she was actually killed, you know. So I don't think she'd put herself in a situation that other people would have said was dangerous.
And maybe lastly, do we need to change or do more, do you think, to protect journalists? Obviously, we've seen a lot of journalists, a huge number, killed in places like Gaza, and this, I suppose, verdict today, putting the spotlight on Northern Ireland as well. Do you think, as a journalist, that journalists are well enough protected in situations of conflict?
No, they aren't. But I mean, this year and last year have had the highest numbers of journalists killed around the world. And that's largely accounted for by the journalists who've been killed by the Israeli Defense Forces in Gaza during the genocide there. So those are deliberate targetings of journalists. I don't think very many people feel that Lyra was herself targeted. I think that she was. You know, the people who came out with guns didn't care who they hit last night. They could have just as easily hit a child or a woman or a man or a policeman. Yeah. It didn't matter. They were firing for the cameras or towards the police, and it didn't matter who got in the way. But journalists around the world are being targeted, and it's very, very important that the journalistic community in Ireland, as elsewhere and in Europe and further afield, you know, show solidarity towards journalists in those situations. But it's also really important that journalists get the respect that they're due when they're doing work as civilians in situations of conflict.
Yeah. Look, Susan, thank you very much for coming on and speaking to us about your friend Lyra McKay. That is Susan McKay, their journalist and author, and indeed, as I say, friend of Lyra's.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.